All right, guys. Today on the show, I've actually got a fellow named Reginald Chan. He runs a blog called reginaldchan.net. And I actually came across his blog when I was looking around on Google. I was searching for something I actually can't remember off the top of my head at the moment, but I found his blog. He was ranking a lot of content on the first page of Google. And I connected with him and left him some comments on his blog and signed up for his mailing list. And I decided to ask him if he'd be interested in an interview, and he accepted. So here we are. I guess if you kind of want to share your story and how you got started blogging.
Hi John, first of all, yes, just a quick thank you for everything, for invitation, so on and so forth.
Sure.
Hi guys, my name is Reginald. Okay, basically I started blogging in 2005. I didn't know I had a in for writing, so I decided, hey, internet is up, so why don't we start a simple blog over at Blogspot? So from time to time, I learned many, many things. It was an interesting journey, I would say, from 2005, from just a hobby to now, close to a full-time job, but not yet a full-time job. I still have a daytime job, but
Yep.
I'm daytime manager, nighttime blogger. Yes, so that's how it works right now.
So I know the blog that you're running now, the reginaldchan.net, that's only a couple months old or maybe 3 months old. Where did you really start? Was there like another blog that you had originally or?
Yes, actually, over the years, I started, every year I start dozens of blogs. But one, I'm absent-minded, so I can't decide a good name. So recently this year, I said, hey, since I always like to change domain names, why don't I just start with my own name? So it made me hang out in this place only, in one place as my main blog. So yes, that's why I started this particular blog.
Right, you decided to use your name. I actually, when I first started my blog, I used my name, but I had a hyphen and I just didn't really like it too much. It was hard for like communicating to people, like especially over audio, to tell someone to type that in. But I've heard it's a kind of a mixed bag, like between whether or not someone should use their name or come up with some creative name when they start a blog. But I mean, I think there's kind of positives to both, you know, because it's easy to remember, like for someone to, and you know, your name isn't really that hard to spell either, you know.
Very true.
But yeah, I mean, so do you kind of want to talk about like some of the things that you've been blogging about and what it is that you write about on your blog for anyone that's listening?
Yeah, sure. Basically, I blog majority on blogging tips. The reason I start this blog is very simple, just to help other bloggers. Let me say, for starters, when I start blogging, I actually wanted to make money online, just like a million people out there. Okay.
Exactly.
But basically, life doesn't go on that way. So I did fail numerous times. It was an interesting experience, I would say. From time to time, I tend to understand that blogging is a passion. You only earn money through your passion, but not blogging to make money. See, you
Right.
need to have your passion there. Slowly, once you have built your authority, you have built your brand, then yes, money and traffic will come in slowly. But not if you think that I want to quit school just for blogging and to make tons of money, there's no way for that. Or basically, you could, but chances is very, very slim. I would say that way, yes.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. I mean, I know for anyone, you know, it all kind of comes down to, you know, taking consistent action, and it's going to take a long period of time. That's kind of where I'm going with this interview show, is I know that, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, I have to work hard at this, just like anything else, really. But yeah, I mean, so you've got a lot of, you know, blogs where you talk about SEO. Do you kind of want to talk some? You know, maybe some of the things that you've recently seen. Like, I know you just posted a blog recently about Google apparently had a change in their algorithms and how that affected smaller websites.
Basically, SEO is actually very simple. There is nothing that you need to go around it. Okay, you just need to understand that Google just loves natural stuff. Okay, stop thinking of building things overnight. Stop thinking of trying to beat the algorithm. Okay, it meant to be there, so just leave as what it is. Basically, there are so You might even hear people say the white hat SEO, the black hat SEO, gray hat SEO as well. Basically, I would say these are just whether you want to go the fast way or you want to go a slow way. SEO is always changing. Google changed its algorithm four times in 1 year, once a year, God knows. Okay. Basically, you just need to blog as what you are. If you want to start blogging, think of your readers. Don't think about Google. Don't think about Bing. Think about your Googles. What they want, give it to them. Then you will indirectly have a better traffic, a better SEO from there. However, the basic SEO is like, you know, when you blog, okay, you don't make your blogs unreadable, which means you key in a keyword density of 10%. So basically, just be yourself. Just type something readable, something in plain English, nothing big, nothing small. Just let it natural, I would say. Just leave it natural. That would be the best way out, especially for SEO. Forget about spending thousands of dollars on SEO companies or even SEO tools. You do not really need to use it unless you are, you know, you're really thinking of running a big site. Then yes, that is a whole different story.
Right. Now, I know, I mean, so when you go into like writing your posts, I know obviously a lot of your blog posts are pretty long and they're in depth. They look like they all pretty much are over 1,000 words from what I could tell. I mean, what do you do when it comes to like, you know, are you really just writing on topics you enjoy, or are you going after specific keywords at times, like, you know, trying to target them in your URL and in your meta tags and things like that?
Okay, John, this is basically a mix of both. Number one, I prefer to write longer articles. It's because I like it to be very detailed. So I realize that my visitors or the visitors who visit my blogs, they like to see stats, they like to see videos, they like to see slides, they like to see real information instead of just words, instead of just images. So right. That's why I try to make it as detailed possible. Of course, I can't help myself type writing long blogs. I'm used to it. So yeah. All my blogs are between 1,000 to 2,000 words. The longest I had was, I think, about 3,800 words. But yes, that was insane. Okay. When come to keywords, I try not to focus much on it. I do have I'm using one of the SEO tools just to make sure that I'm on track, the keywords. I don't really focus on it. I just place maybe 40% of my effort on it. 60% are on stats, are on information that I find. There's something to support my blogging. So it makes sense where people really, they tend to understand, oh, yes, you know, this is right. They have stats. Instead of just sharing information that you can find on Google. I mean, what's the point? I would rather share something that we own stats that I can find, plus something that I can find over Wikipedia, YouTube, or, you know, Google by itself.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I know what I've been noticing is that, you know, I've written a few posts myself that are like really long, just like in-depth 1,000-word articles. And those seem to get more traffic, even, you know, just overall. I know the ones I've written, they just get so many searches just from even long tail keywords, like people searching for these really, you know, just not very specific things. And it's finding my articles because they're, you know, they're looking for these random things that people would never really try to rank for.
Yep.
I know, really one of the only blogs that I have, this blog, the Voices of Marketing blog, I've primarily been doing interviews, but I wrote one post and it's had, you know, it's nothing really too impressive, I don't think, but it's had about 15,000 impressions according to Google Analytics, and I think maybe like 200 or 300 click-throughs, and I did focus it on a keyword, but I also like actually took the time to make it a really lengthy article. I used images, and made sure that it was actually useful information, like I was writing for people and not for the search engines.
Yeah, correct.
So I mean, it definitely works. I think for me, I guess something I wanted to ask about, you know, you've kind of got these articles where you're providing all these details and this information, and, you know, you're basically providing lots of, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess more or less it's just information. Where do you think of, like, some of the blog topics when you're going to write?
Okay, when it comes to blog topic, I try to integrate it with my life experience. Okay, like what you say, my latest post, that was something I accidentally came across with one of the tools. This is a free tool that I use to use it. I check on the stats once a week. So I was like, hey, this is something new, maybe something that I should know about. Because when I just do a simple search on Google, no one seemed to be talking much about it. Okay, so I was like, hey, maybe could use this, way to blog. But of course, am I thinking just for traffic? Not really. I prefer to share information because most of people who come to my blogs are the one who are trying to get better of SEO, to get better of Google. So I said, hey, why? It could be a revolution. Of course, down the road, there are some articles that just doesn't make the cut. But either way, well, why not? At least we try.
Right, that makes sense. So, something else I figure we could talk a little bit about is I know you mentioned that you use a program called Triber, and I'm familiar with that. I know I haven't had anyone on the show yet that's really talked about that and, what that is and how it can help bloggers or, sharing content. Do you kind of want to talk a little bit about that and how you use that for your blog?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Basically, Triber is a new platform being used by quite a lot of people in this industry right now. Basically, there are tribes that you need to join. Okay, or you can, of course, create your own tribe. Tribe is like a group of members who, they are your members. You can have members and followers. Members are considering them as a higher rank. Followers are just followers. Okay. Basically, what makes Triber unique is it's a free account. Okay. You can join as many tribes as you want. Okay. But of course, one of the tricks is joining tribes that are highly related to your niche. So at least when you share information, people are like, yeah, I'm looking for that. Instead of I blog for SEO, but I join automotive instead. So what on earth is automotive and SEO comes in one world? Basically, in Triber, just like any other social media network, you need to be active. You need to share information, comment on other players, and say sometimes a simple hello could mean a whole lot of different. You can join tribes and build your own tribes. For a free account, you Yep. can have about three tribes. You can build three tribes on your own. So you are the head, and then you can have 30 members each. Where every time, basically, you sync your feed into Triber. So for every publication that you've done, you will automatically send out a message to everyone in the tribe or to all the tribe that you are in a member of. So basically, imagine the number of reach that you can actually reach out to. So that is one of a very good way to boost your traffic. But of course, again, depends on the niche that you are in. Depends on the group that you are in.
Yeah.
That is one of the main key reasons because I know there are many people, even I did the same thing. I try to join any tribes as possible. But then I realized that traffic is me coming from this specific 5 tribes that I am in or the 10 tribes that I'm in instead of the 30 plus which I am totally in. So I was like, okay, what is actually going on? So after checking through, they are very specific type, which means they are not talking about blogging. They are only talking about how to increase traffic or how to build backlinks. Very specific tribes. And they will, the one who go in, they will comment on Triber. At the same time, they will drop you a message on your blog post, which that is very, very good. They will help you share as well. One good thing about Triber is for a free account, you have 100 points. Basically, you can share 100 articles a day. You can share your own, or you can share someone else's article, and you can share their Facebook and Twitter itself. So basically, with just one click, you kill two buttons. And imagine if you have just 50 people sharing for you. Traffic will increase. Triber, to be honest, according to Google Analytics, it is second biggest traffic from my referral traffic. So, highly recommended. Use the free account first. Some people even ask me, should they actually be using Triber Prime, the paid service.
Right, the paid version.
For me, yeah. For me, it really depends. Do you really use or do you really need the free service? Or do you really need the paid service? If you are running a company, an agency, for example, then yes, maybe getting a paid service is much better because the difference between a paid service is it gives you more memes. At the same time, you are able to auto, which means people need to share yours. So, going on from there, some people hate auto share, they just doesn't like auto share. For me, I wouldn't go a Prime yet, but because for my members to share an article they might or might not like, not really my type. Yeah, I would say it that way.
Right. I know with the paid version, you're basically with the auto tribing it's giving you an automatic way to do a lot of the functions, so you don't have to be in there doing things manually yourself, right?
Yep.
Cool. That's what I thought. So, I mean, beyond writing these long articles and using some of these platforms like Triber, are you also doing? I know something I noticed with just looking around your blog, it looked like you were also doing guest posting.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about like some of the strategies you've used there? I know there's a few like networks that really encourage like guest blogging and things like that, and you had a few of them like highlighted on your blog. Like I think I saw it looked like you might have even won a contest on one of them. I forget the blog, but I noticed they did like a contest for guest blogging, and you could write content, and I think you won one of them if I noticed correctly.
Basically for guest blogging, there's many ways you can find a guest blogging. For me, it's actually very simple. You just find a blog that is related, highly related to your niche. Look up at the editor and say, hey, do you need any guest blogger? This is what I am. And for me, my guest blogging are all free of charge. I don't charge them anything at all. I don't even ask for a backlink, but if they would like links, by all means, it's fine. Guest blogging, my principle is always the same. I will look up at the editor and say, do you need any write-up? Do you any specific topic that you need? This is my specific topic. Yeah, I only need about blogging, I blog about SEO, I blog about marketing. Do you have anything that you need? And if they say, oh yes, I need this, I need that, then I say, fair enough, I will create a blog. But of course, the most important part is asking, what are I expecting from you? Do they need images? Do they need the specific number of words? Do they need any specific keywords? Because when it comes to guest blogging, you have to remember that you are blogging for someone else. They are bosses in some way.
Yeah.
You don't want to put them in a soup. You don't want them to say that, your guest blogging is bad. They have to do a 50% makeover change on your blog. It doesn't work that way. I have to have, I give you a drill. You have to look at what you need. So basically, the way I do my guest blogging is always twice. I know it's a very, very long way. Some editors really hate it. I will send them the first draft. I will tell them, have a look. Tell me what you need to change. I will change it from there. Especially, some editors are very particular with keyword density, specific keywords to use. They want it that way. For me, it's fine. It's a good experience because I used to be a ghost writer myself. It was an advantage. Is an advantage for me that I tend to understand how they what they are looking for and so on and so forth. How do you really get a guest blogging? I don't really go to a single site and just say, hey, I am a guest blogger, can I just blog you? Instead, I will go for blog owners who I really, really know, which means maybe I have known them for 3 months, 6 months down the road. Then you say, hey, maybe do you have any write up, maybe I do it for you once a month, so on and so forth. So not just for backlink. I don't really do for backlink. I do it for authority. I want to make sure that all my guest blogging, I am blogging something that I really, really know about. To share information means why not? Why not at all? So yes, basically my concept of blogging is rather different. People focus on backlink, people focus on SEO. I focus more on authority. I just want to meet up more friends, more bloggers, and let the traffic come by itself.
That's actually, it's funny you say that because I recently I picked up a course by a fellow who, you know, he does a lot of guest blogging. He's had a, I think he had a blog post on ProBlogger, and I went through his course. You could be familiar with him, maybe, maybe not. His blog is called Blog Tyrant. His name's Ramsey.
Oh yeah, I heard about it. Yeah.
You're familiar with it? Yeah. So I was looking at, he had a course, and he talks in the course about guest blogging and basically how what he focuses on is the relationships that he has, and he shows right in the his, you know, his course, he puts a screenshot from Twitter where he's got the owner of I think ProBlogger, I think his name's Darren Rose.
Okay.
And he's got a little screenshot just saying, you know, I really appreciate you coming on and writing your article for, you know, your articles for ProBlogger. You know, I really appreciate it. So now he's kind of like, you know, it's like he's building the relationship with the owner. You know, not, he's not just looking for some blog with a bunch of traffic to get him more traffic. He's like got this relationship with the owner of the blog, you know. And I just think that's really interesting. Like, I never really thought about it that way, you know, because most people, like you said, they're trying to get backlinks or they're trying to get traffic or whatever, you know, they're not really trying to like make new friends or whatever with it. I don't know what it just doesn't, it seems like everyone's kind of like stuck in this mindset of, you know, what's going to benefit me.
Yeah. Sure. John, I just want to add, I noticed there was a huge peak of requests, especially from guest blogging, like what you said earlier. Everyone was thinking of backlink. I think since 2 months ago, there was huge hype where even big sites close up all the guest blogging ability. They refused to take any too many guests. Are asking for, can I join, and you know, they said no, enough is enough. So yes, I realized this about 2 months ago. There was a huge hype for guest blogging. Everyone was not blogging for themselves. They was trying to find for big sites and trying just to get at least one backlink from there. I mean, come on, you blog, no, you do it the right way, no, do it the right way, enjoying the guest posting experience. Guest post is a very, very fun experience, especially when you mix with people of your different country, different requirement, and especially when you blog for a blog which you are not the owner. So that is a whole different experience. It's very, very fun. I would highly advise anyone to do it, but of course, make sure that you are be yourself. Don't ask them to give points that you want me to write. You block first. Do you have anything specific, anything that stress work that on? And the most important trick is if you are trying to, please don't do that. Allow the blog owners to put out a fake link. That have to be the rule. Is certain ethics that you need to follow in guest blogging. Being not able to follow the ethics will actually make you a bad guest blogger. So respect them. Respect them as what they are. So, you know, they are the blog owners anyway, and you are just a, you know, a guest writer. So
yeah, yeah. Yes. Makes sense. I mean, it's really just kind of common sense, I suppose, but a lot of people might not look at it that way, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was another topic I thought I'd bring up, and I read a post that was on your blog where, you know, you're using the comment plugin that allows people to basically put in backlinks to their own sites, and you'll actually allow do-follow comments on your blog after a certain amount of, like, you know, social engagement and comments people have left over time. And you had a problem where you had a lot of backlinks going out of your site that were actually hitting, you know, 404 errors or non-existent sites, you know, basically a bunch of dead links. And I guess, you know, do you kind of want to talk a bit about, you know, I know you ended up re-enabling the plugin, but you, at first you were going to, I think you disabled it because you thought it was a problem.
Yep. Okay, John, basically what happens is linking out is always fine, but linking out too much is always a problem for Google, for other search engines. Basically, you just need to make sure that you are linking out correctly. Basically, linking out correctly means you doesn't send out to those error page cannot be found, places. Basically, I'm using a plugin called Command Love. It's very, very popular among blogs. I'm using a premium version, of course. Okay, so basically what happens is for any comment who comment on my blog, when they key in their website URL, they will automatically get a backlink from there. That is automatic a do-follow. But what happens with this Command Love is they allow you to add in another link at the bottom of your comment. So that will be a no-follow for my blog. However, if you share the blog on social media, yes, then you get, instead of one follow link, you get two follow links instead. Okay, what happens now will be people are trying to abuse this. They are trying to share as many as possible just to get those do follow links. Okay, what makes it funny is, for example, I blog about blogging tips, and I have commenters who are trying to share links talking about technology, talking about finance. I was like, okay, this is absolutely wrong. So that's where I tried to contact it. I actually contacted the plugin developer. He was absolutely fine, Andy. We chat sometime and he said, yeah, it's what's going on. And we can't really control this. I did thought about it of removing it completely. But thinking, I said, well, maybe not. So what I did something was I just need to be slightly hardworking. Every weekend, I will check on those broken links. If you Google it, you can Google broken keywords link. They will give you a list pages of broken links on your site. So you need to head down to each and every one of them, either remove it or change the link. Basically, personally, some of my readers, they do ask whether is it really important to have Command Love, this plugin. Basically, yes, it's a good way to increase traffic. You have to understand that many bloggers comment due to the fact that they want to get a backlink.
Okay? Right.
They want to get a dual flow. So they will drop a comment. However, I don't use this plugin, you are still fine. You are still fine, but you are going to have a little bit drop of traffic, that is for sure. Okay, but I was thinking, well, if my readers would like to drop me a comment, means why not? I will just give them something back in return, maybe a do follow link instead. So a win-win situation, I would say. I would rather to have my blog to have 50 comments than none at all. See, so that is my concept. I know it is going to affect my time and a lot, but I mean, why not? Why not? I mean, blogging is all about the fun of it, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting too. I kind of remember too, after I read your blog post, I checked out the, it was the free, I think it's brokenlinkchecker.com you mentioned. And I went through and I found like a ton of errors on my blog, and I was like, oh my God, I need to go fix these, because I read your blog post, and it kind of made me think too, like I had a bunch of comments that were trackbacks and stuff that were broken and just all sorts of stuff that was incorrect. But it's interesting too, you know, to think that you got people like in finance niches or other niches that like have nothing to do with, you know, what it is that you're writing about, and they're basically over there just trying to get their backlinks for free, and that's the only reason they're on your blog. That's basically what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I know that there's like some directories too that list all of those types of blogs with the Comment Love plugin. But, yeah, I mean, I thought about getting it myself, but I know it does have a bit of a price tag. I think, isn't it close? Is it $50 or is it a little more?
Yeah, it's roughly a bit. And you know, it's a tool that can help you to send out thousands of comments in one day to these specific blogs. So, I mean, that is a huge, huge issue, especially when you're trying to combat them. That is a big problem. Basically, I'm getting close to 20 spams. I mean, 20 is just fine. However, I have friends who are getting like 500, 600 spam comments in a day. I mean, that is crazy. And of course, checking it is insane, because when that time I checked through the web, I had about 160 broken links, and to change it one by one is an insane job. It took me about 4-5 hours just to remove every one of them, or at least change them quickly.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, so really that's just... I mean, it takes so much time too, because you'd have to go back through and delete all the comments or whatever. You know, it doesn't look good to Google, because I know they're gonna see that in their, you know, in their crawl results. You know, the crawl results, they're gonna see that you've got these broken links. It just isn't good for your blog. But I thought that was something interesting to bring up. I know a lot of people do use that comment love plugin. I think I discovered it a while ago, and I do see it on a lot of blogs. But it seems like there's some debate over whether or not it's good to have it or not, you know?
Yeah. John, actually, there is also a free version that you can get it on WordPress, but it's not. It doesn't have much ability. It has no ability for the nofollow, if I'm not mistaken. But there is a free one, so if you want to check it out, then yes, why not?
I might look at that. I've been kind of, you know, looking around at different things. It's, you know, right now I've got the it's a comment plugin called Disqus, the DISQUS.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah, I like that one. But it's interesting too. I had a few episodes back for me, I had a fellow on. His plugin's not released yet, but he released a plugin called Engage. And what it actually does is every time someone comments on the blog, he can go right in and he'll see all the people that are on his mailing list through whatever mail, you know, let's say he's using AWeber or GetResponse. He can actually see, you know, whether or not they're on his mailing list, and he can follow up with them with messages right in the back of WordPress. And I thought that was really cool, but, you know, it's like, I don't know if I want to go, you know, stick to the native WordPress comments, or if I wanted to, you know, I know that Google looks at the Disqus platform because I can see it in the analytics. You know, they put it in with, it, you know, they add it in with your, like, Facebook and other stuff with how they track your social, social interaction, I suppose, social media interaction. But... So, I mean, you know, with blogging, I know that you said, you know, originally you wanted to make money with the blog, and now you're kind of doing it as more of a passion and just to build relationships with people. I mean, are you starting to actually see, you know, you're obviously getting traffic on your blog. Are you able to make money now that you've kind of like, you know, focused on the more important things?
Oh, yes, John, basically what happens is when I start this particular site, I do affiliate market. But people ask me, why am I saying all this? And my only question is, any tips for that? Basically, my thing is I only sell things that I actually use or have experience with. I believe for me to sell something, we need to be honest. Okay, I don't want to share information which you can find on that particular website. I want to share something that you can find only on my plate or only on those who have actually used it before. So in terms of making money through my affiliate marketing, yes, I'm making a little bit, not much, just a couple hundred of bucks a month. I mean, that is good to cover off my expenses, to cover off my hosting costs, my plugging junkie addiction. You know? That is not bad. I'm not looking for a few thousand. I know many of them are earning thousands and thousands of dollars just from affiliate market. But for me, I mean, a few hundred bucks for me for now, assuming my blog of just 90 days, I mean, that is pretty good, pretty fine. But I see many rooms for that. However, due to the fact that I only promote products which I use, so, I mean, the market is rather small. I have that I use, so from time to time I will share some information. It is what I use. If you want, try it out. Try out the version, and you know, that's how it goes around. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to go about it, and that's I don't know if you follow Pat Flynn of the Smart Passive Income. Do you read his blog at all?
Oh yes, I respect him as what he is. Absolutely a great guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the model that he believes in. He does not promote anything that he doesn't use himself. And that's something I think that's kind of, you know, he's one of the, in my opinion, probably one of the top affiliate marketers out there in the blogging world, you know, because he's making so much money with his blog and all the people that he attracts to his blog and through his podcasts and everything. I interviewed him as well. I was very excited about it because I listened to all his podcasts, and I really like his stuff. It's like he just gives away everything for free, and you know, it's like you're kind of drawn in, like you almost just want to buy from him, and he's not even asking or trying to pitch you on anything. It's just how he does everything. And that's kind of, you know, that's the good way to go about it. But, let's say someone who were to start a new blog, you know, obviously you started this blog that you've got now, and you have experience, you know, you've got quite a few years of experience. You know, like what would be some tips that you might give out to people that want to start a brand new blog?
Okay, the basic for blogging is always knowing what you're going to blog. I start blogging on Blogspot, general articles. I blog about technology, I blog about computer, about phone, I blog about SEO, and I tell you that is not really the best way to go around. However, it is, are you going for serious blogging? If you for serious blogging, be just blogging for SEO. You are blogging for marketing. You are blogging for blogging. Be very specific. Okay. You know your target. Why are you? You want to help someone. You want to share experience. I know people have blogs on. They are making tons of money, even though they are just doing it as a
hobby. Right. Right.
Basically, know why I'm having it, but just don't focus too much on making money. When you start off blogging, don't focus too much on money, don't focus too much on traffic, just be yourself. Okay, once you starting is always tough. The first 30 articles will be tough. Okay, you will be expecting very less traffic coming to you, and of course, for new blogs, please do not overshare on social media. I mean, it's no point sharing that particular link 10 times one day on Facebook, on Twitter. You know, it doesn't go that
right.
way. Share it. I have a practice. I practice sharing my articles once a week on one time per social media. So that's how it works. So one time on Google, one time on Pinterest, one time on Twitter. So my readers will like, oh yeah, you know, you doesn't really spam all the way, because I mean, there's no point sending the same particular URL or blog post to the same person 5 times a day. Beside that, when you have a blog, okay, you can plan of monetizing it. That's absolutely fine. However, just don't expect a windfall. Don't expect overnight earning $10 a day, $20 a day, or even $100 a day. Okay, just place maybe one banner on Google, and just leave that. As your traffic picks up, you with the earnings coming in. Okay.
Yeah.
If you are thinking of when you place Google AdSense banners, okay, your banners, make sure you make your banners could only be maybe 5% of your page, while the balance 95% are either your links or your articles. So you have to put it that way. I know many bloggers are having about 6 banners, 8 banners, affiliate banners, many ads banners. I mean, what's the point? You want to leave very limited. Make it easy for your reader. Don't give them too many choices which they will not at all. Okay. Monetizing, if you are thinking of monetizing using affiliate marketing, okay, one of the biggest questions is, they say, which is the best affiliate platform they should join? I mean, we have so many. We have ClickBank, we have what else we have? We
JV2.
Have Commission. Yeah, we have so many. I mean, one of the tricks, don't ever focus on one thing. Okay. Put your money around, your eggs around all the baskets, you know. Play around with things like play with Amazon, play with eBay. These things might not earn you. For example, I do sell ebooks on Amazon, okay? Those ebooks which I read. It doesn't earn me much. Some ebooks may either cost me just 50 cents, you see. But I mean, these numbers add up when it comes to end of the month, okay? So just focus on the big. You can focus on, don't focus on anything. Just focus randomly. I practice random. So if I think I blog about SEO, maybe I should just share one thing on this SEO too. Why not? If I'm using it, it's good. So yes, then so be it. If I get it, Yeah, thank you. If I don't get it, I mean, well, at least I tried. But don't place too many. And one thing about banners is, you know, InfoLinks, Comterra, they have those inline text. I mean, seriously, I hate that. Why? In between your articles, in between your blog posts, you usually share your links, right?
Right.
But these links will add up and increase the number of links that your readers can actually click. It makes things weird because you might not even get a click at all. Back to your own, you know, your main goal is to have your readers maintain and stay at your website, not moving off to another website. So for me, if you're talking about monetization, go with banners and go with affiliate marketing, nothing else. Of course, when you have a blog about a year old or you have a traffic, very good traffic, then ask if anyone would want to have paid posting, paid reviews, then or selling ad space. Then that's how you slowly make money, like Blogger, how they do that. Even, you know, Pat Flynn. People like this, they didn't start making money day one of blogging. They made money maybe 6 months later, 1 year later. So you have to have your plan, right? Don't over-focus or don't focus too much. Okay, don't focus much on beating the rest. Possibly you won't be able to because domain age, the number of backlinks that you have.
Right,
so basically, right. Enjoy the process. If you want to start a blog, if you want to start a blog right now, enjoy the process. Plan why you want to blog. Know where you want to start with. With so many social media platforms, there is no way that you can be active in anyone. Okay, you can't be active in everything because maybe you have a day job just like me. So I, for me, I focus only on Twitter, a little bit on Facebook, and the last but not least is Google Plus. So
yeah.
That's how I focus a lot on Twitter. I focus on the masses. Then Facebook is just for specific people, maybe people in my group, people on my fan page, then yes. Google Plus is much more different because I have not spent much time on there. I enjoy the company there, but I have yet to really join those communities in contributing. So, but again, if you are very focused in getting traffic for your blog, okay, then you should focus, spend more time on Facebook and Google Plus. LinkedIn is also one of a good one if you ask me. It's very growing, especially when to corporate industry. Corporate industry, yes, it is changing. It's from I basically wrote the 7 most influential social platform, even more, maybe a dozen more. Basically, just three of your favorite, and just work, you'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, kind of stick to one is what you're saying.
Best from you. Yes. Basically, how you, the way you plan yourself, that is the one who is going to show you the way out. So if you spend more time on Twitter, chances is you are going to get more traffic from Twitter. If you're going to spend more time on Tribe, you're going to get more traffic from Tribe. That's how it goes around. So there is no rule in this. Basically, you just need to Enjoy the process. Social media is all about enjoy. Have some fun there. Pay some attention and, you know, we'll see the traffic grow from it. It takes time. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort to grow media. But it's not impossible. Once you have it coming in, it'll be pretty straightforward. But the starting point is the harder to say. Yeah.
Right. No, that's good advice. I mean, and it makes sense, really. You know, and that's something too that, you know, it's so easy because you could really dive into any of the social media platforms, or you could spend a lot of time on Tribe or on Twitter or Facebook, Google Plus, you know, really it's kind of overwhelming. But I mean, if you kind of, in my opinion, I guess, stay focused on at least one thing at a time. I mean, I know there's even people that use LinkedIn and they have a lot of success with LinkedIn.
Yep.
That's something I barely even touched. You know, I think I only have it out there maybe more for a professional, like, you know. But yeah, I mean, I know for me, it's actually pretty late here. It's funny for anyone listening, it's about a little past midnight here, and it's actually already Sunday for for Reginald. It's what, like past, it's like lunchtime for you right now?
Yes, soon.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think this is great. I figure we could probably wrap this up. We've probably been on about 45 minutes now.
Yeah, why not?
But I'll post a link to some of these things if people are interested in checking out Triber or the Comment Love plugin. Anything else that we mentioned that I could link to? I'll put a link to your blog as well, if people could check out some of your posts. And I'll hopefully stay in touch.
Yeah, sure do, John. For the time, if appreciate the effort of you inviting me over. Yes. So guys, voicesofmarketing.com, you should actually have a look. I did look on your Pat Flynn interview. That was marvelous. Okay, so I mean, yes, well done.
Yeah, thanks. All right, talk to you later.
All right.